What makes a prophet? Are you a prophet? When St. Peter preached his very first sermon, he told everyone in the crowd that all of us are prophets. We avoid being called a prophet, and we certainly don't want to act as a prophet. But yet God calls us. We can make excuses. I'm only one person. What difference can I make? I'm only a young girl. I'm only a young boy. Or I'm too old. I'm too busy. I can't, whatever the explanation is, to avoid God's call. But we're not alone in avoiding God's call. That's what Jeremiah did. Jeremiah tried to duck when God tried to call him. Jeremiah came up with excuses. He told God, "I don't know how to speak. I'm afraid to go to the people. I'm just a young boy." God didn't buy any of Jeremiah's excuses. If he was afraid of the people, God would be there. If he was too young, well, God consecrated him. If he could not speak well, don't worry about it, Jeremiah. I'll put the words in your mouth. The Lord explained to Jeremiah that even before he was formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. And even before he was born, God consecrated him. And God appointed him a prophet to the nations. Now, hard to escape when God wants you. The word prophet has an awful meaning, a different meaning in today's society. Theologically, and in ancient times, it had a very different meaning. In our modern world, we picture a prophet as sort of a seer, a clairvoyant, a psychic. But in theology and in biblical times, and when you read the Bible, it's very different. A prophet is a person who understands sacred scripture and lives out God's call. A prophet is a person who tries creatively to bring God's words to life in his own or her own life and in the lives of others, as well as in the culture of today, as that culture keeps moving through the centuries. And this innovation comes about when a person thinks about God's word, imagines a visionary, imagines a dreamer, and how we can best live out God's life. You and I are prophets. St. Peter told us that. Right after the moment of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit entered the souls of the apostles, they all went out into the streets, and St. Peter addressed the crowd. And this is right in the very beginning of the book of Acts. And this is what God declares, according to St. Peter. "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, men and women in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So a prophet is approached by God to speak for God. And we read that prophets, like Jeremiah, were given the task of bringing people back to obeying the Ten Commandments. But all prophets, you and I, are called to speak. And all prophets are called to the task of telling people that God's kingdom is here. Prophets are summoned to be the voice of God, because prophets are the intermediaries between God and others. Now, in his letter to various churches, St. Paul talks about prophecy, and he often talked about people who speak for God. And he says that the gift of prophecy comes, and it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Now, obviously, there are tests of who can speak for God and what is speaking for God. Sometimes in this world, we have too many people who think they can speak for God. But Jeremiah had one test. And this is in the book of Jeremiah. He said, "A prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet." So, for example, anyone who talks about peace but does so through violence cannot be a true prophet. That person is an imposter. And we can use Jeremiah's test in our modern world. And we can definitely use his test in our own lives. For in our day-to-day living, what prophecy calls us to do is to live out God's word, to live out what we speak, to live out what our faith calls us to do. For example, it's very easy for grandparents and parents to tell children what to do, but very difficult to live out what we tell them to do. There are other tests for prophecy. Another sign for a test of prophecy is humility. And this is the test that Jesus showed us, for he was always humble. And not one of the prophets in the Bible, not one of them, was a proud person because everyone recognized that God was speaking through them. The words and the ideas were not their own. They were divine inspiration. And they realized there's no reason to be proud, but every reason to be humbled because of their experiences with the Lord God. Another test of a true prophet is that they search for the truth. True prophets don't hide anything. Prophets work to bring the truth into bright sunlight. By the way, this disclosure course makes them very unpopular. We don't like prophets who tell us the truth because we enjoy living just the way we are, and the truth often hurts. Sometimes we may prefer to live even in the shadows, well, at least in one part of our life. We don't want to be reminded of our shortcomings. Prophets upset people. And if someone thinks we're speaking as a prophet, we become very troublesome to them. In one of the most interesting passages in the Bible, God said this to the prophet Isaiah, "Go now, write an oracle before my people in a book, so that it may be for the time to come a witness forever. For my people are a rebellious people, faithless children, children who will not hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy to us what is right. Rather, speak to us of smooth things, prophesy illusions. Let us hear no more about God, the Holy One of Israel.'" It's quite an interesting passage. And that passage was true then, and it's true now. God knows we don't want to be told what we're doing wrong or what we're doing right. We just don't want to hear it. What we really want to hear are words that make us feel better. God knows that people want smooth things, illusions, fantasies, and we will easily accept illusion. Sometimes we want to escape to avoid coming face to face with reality. But Isaiah, the prophet, knew that there are children who will not hear the instruction of the Lord. And he knew that people are often unwilling to listen. In fact, there are people, and continue to have people, who just think God's rules of life are irrelevant, impractical, and even obsolete. Isaiah said this, and it's true now. So Isaiah tells us that some people said, "Do not see. Do not even look in our direction." True words. In my own life, I can also easily predict sometimes the outcome of what I'm thinking of doing, and yet I do it anyway. I can foresee the consequences, but regardless of that, I go ahead and act. I am human. We all are human. And human nature does not change, which is why the Bible endures. Isaiah wrote some 2,700 years ago. Jeremiah wrote 2,600 years ago. Peter and Paul wrote roughly 2,000 years ago, along with the other contemporary authors of the New Testament. And their wisdom continues to shout, and we continue to avoid it. But through them we learn that prophets are young and old, male and female. Prophets are ordinary people. They're not theologians. And prophets usually in the Old Testament and the New Testament are not usually willing to act as prophets or serve as prophets or speak as prophets, but they eventually do respond to God's persistent call. Another test of a prophet is that it is God speaking, not a person who feels that it's their own feelings or thoughts. St. Peter wrote this in his second epistle. "No prophecy ever came about by human will, but by men and women moved by the Holy Spirit when they speak for God." So prophets are everyday people, people who get up in the morning and do what all of us do, people who daily interact with all kinds of people, people who go to bed tired at night. We are the people that St. Peter is talking about. People who daily strive to live out their best, a life lived in accord with God's will, a life which works to bring about God's kingdom in this world, a life lived in service to both God and to neighbor, a life lived as Jesus wants and asks us to live, a life lived of living and speaking the truth, a life lived of working to make religion relevant and practical in everyday world, a life lived to do what is right. Perhaps the most important duty of an everyday prophet And the most important duty is that a prophet struggles constantly to listen for God's word. Because God's word can come to us from many sources. Yes, it can come through meditation. But the word of the Lord is not confined to contemplation or meditation. God's word can come to us through a statement made by a friend, regardless of the friend's age or stature. Or it can come to us by reading a passage in Scripture, or a passage in any book, or listen to an MP3 passage. It can come to us through a thought while walking down the street. St. Peter talked about visions and dreams. In our modern world, the words would be ideas and brainstorming. So applying God's word to how best we can live in the kingdom and bring about the kingdom into our own personal lives, as well as the lives of others and into the culture we have. A life lived within our own self and a life lived with our spouse and our children and our roommates and how we interact with everyone around us, including strangers. Because being a prophet, being a follower of God, means being a lover. And loving is creative. Ellen Wachtel wrote in a book called We Love Each Other But, this passage. Never say, this is the way I am, or this is what I like or don't like. By this I mean don't pigeonhole yourself. Do you remember when you were a child and your mother urged you to try new foods? Well, she was right. You owe it yourself to at least try things before you decide that they really aren't for you. Many people grow up thinking, I'm not interested in sports or I'm not athletic. They have discovered, however, as adults, that they get tremendous pleasure from athletic pursuits. People who never sang because they couldn't carry a tune have, as adults, learned to play a musical instrument. People who believe they couldn't draw a straight line to save themselves have become passionate about art. People who dreaded language class in high school have been amazed that through immersion language programs, they learned to speak a foreign language. You will find your life more interesting if you remain open to trying new things and have new experiences. So the parallel I think that there is between what Ellen wrote is that when we open ourselves up to life under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we begin to see new possibilities in every area of our life. And that's what makes us a prophet, a greater prophet. For a prophet is one who makes connections between God's word and our current world. Church life, as you well know, is not confined to 1 hour on a Sunday, because Jesus asks us to be totally and fully involved in loving God and in loving neighbor. When we love a person, we are creative and we want to creatively prove that love. Think of how imaginative people are in expressing their love when they first meet a new love interest, and how inventive some people are when they want to propose marriage. And how imaginative some people are when a person returns, for example, from military service or being gone from college and being gone for a full semester. They express their loves creatively. And the prophets of old were creative in expressing their love for God. So in our own individual prophecies, we're called to be resourceful in showing our love to everyone around us. Jeremiah was not alone, for God knows us also. We are, everyone in this congregation, formed by God, who knew us before we were in the womb and when we were in the womb to be consecrated. Not only are we consecrated, but St. Paul says that each of us is a saint. We don't like to be called saints, and yet St. Paul says we are all saints. You want to see a saint? According to St. Paul, all we have to do is turn our heads to the right and to the left. And according to St. Peter, then, if we want to see a prophet, we do the same thing. We just turn our heads to the right and to the left, and the person next to us is a prophet. And like Jeremiah, we can come up with many excuses. We can be afraid. We don't know how to speak well. We're too busy or too young or too old. Yet we cannot avoid God's call, because what Jesus said was, go forth and baptize. And to baptize is not just pouring on water. To baptize is to bless, to initiate, to immerse. So when Jesus asks us to go forth, we understand that part. And the baptism part is to immerse ourselves and immerse others in His name, and to welcome strangers in His name. And that's what the Lord asked Jeremiah to do, and that's what the Lord asks us to do. We are sent by Jesus, the Lord God, into the real world. We are sent forth in God's Spirit. And when we do so, God's kingdom expands. And when we do so, this congregation grows. And when we do so, our own soul enlarges. And when we do so, the souls of others realize then that God does care for them through us. It is then we live out the prayer, "May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Remember the last lines of the passage today? Jeremiah was appointed to build and to plant. And that is our job. We are to be creative builders, and we are to be loving planters. All in Jesus' name. Amen.